Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Can you hear me?
Surely can.
And can you see me this time?
We can now see you, yes.
Okay. Well, thank you, Mr. Chairman. And this is such an important hearing. I agree with many of the statements my colleagues have had, that this hearing didn't need to take place at this moment, that the important discussion about how we keep a thriving internet economy and how we continue to make sure that hate speech and misinformation is taken down from the web is something that would probably better been done in January than now. But here we are today, and we've heard some astounding things that I definitely must refute. First of all, I'm not going to take lightly anybody who tries to undermine mail-in voting. Mail-in voting in the United States of America is safe. The state of Washington, the state of Oregon have been doing it for years. There is nothing wrong with our mail-in system. So I think that there'll be secretaries of state, there'll be our law enforcement agencies who've worked hard with state election officials and others who will be talking about how this process works and how we're going to fight to protect it. I'm also going to not demean an organization just because they happen to be headquartered in the state of Washington or to have business there. That somebody claims that just because the geography of a company somehow makes it uber political for one side of the aisle or another, I seriously doubt. I know that because I see many of you coming to the state of Washington for Republican fundraisers with these officials. I know you know darn well that there are plenty of Republicans that work in high-tech firms. So the notion that somehow these people are crossing the aisle because of something and creating censorship, the notion that free speech is about the ability to say things, and it doesn't take, well, maybe we need to have a history lesson from high school again, but yes, free speech means that people can make outrageous statements about their beliefs. So I think that the CEOs are telling us here what their process is for taking down healthcare information that's in fact, that's not true, that is a threat to the public, and information that is a threat to our democracy. That is what they're talking about. So I want to make it clear that this hearing could have happened at a later date, and I don't appreciate the misinformation that is coming across today that is trying to undermine our election process. It is safe. It is the backbone of what distinguishes America from other countries in the world. We do know how to have a safe and fair election. And one of the ways that we're doing that is to have these individuals work with our law enforcement entities. My colleague, Gary Peters, made it very clear. They successfully helped stop a threat on the governor of Michigan. And why? Because they were working with them to make sure that information was passed on. So this is what we're talking about. We're talking about whether we're going to be on the side of freedom and information and whether we're going to put our shoulder to the wheel to continue to make sure that engine is there, or whether we're going to prematurely try to get rid of 230 and squash free speech. And so I want to make sure that we continue to move forward. So Mr. Zuckerberg, I'd like to turn to you because there was a time where there was great concern about what happened in Myanmar, about the government using information against a Muslim minority, and you took action and reformed the system. And just recently, in September, Facebook and Twitter announced they had suspended networks accounts linked to various organizations and for use of techniques laundering Russian-backed websites, accounts, and derisive propaganda that we associated with state-run attempts to interfere in our elections. So could you please, Mr. Zuckerberg, talk about what you are doing to make sure state-run entities don't interfere in U.S. elections?
Yes, thank you, Senator. Since 2016, we've been building up some very sophisticated systems to make sure that we can stop foreign interference in elections, not just in the U.S., but all around the world. And a lot of this involves building up AI systems to identify when clusters of accounts aren't behaving in the way that a normal person would. They're behaving as fake accounts in some coordinated way. A lot of this is also about forming partnerships. The tech companies here today work more closely together to share signals about what's happening on the different platforms to be able to combat these threats, as well as working more closely with law enforcement and intelligence communities around the world. And the net result of that is that over the last few years, We have taken down more than 100 networks that were potentially attempting to spread misinformation or interfere. A lot of them were coming from Russia or Iran, a growing number from China as well. And at this point, I'm proud that our company and as well as the others in the industry, I think, have built systems that are very effective at this. We can't stop countries like Russia from trying to interfere in an election. Only the U.S. government can really push back and with the appropriate leverage to do that. But we have built up systems to make sure that we can identify much faster when they're attempting to do that. And I think that should give the American people a good amount of confidence leading into this election.
And is it true that those entities are trying to find domestic sources to help with that misinformation?
Senator, yes, the tactics of these different governments are certainly evolving, including trying to find people outside of their country. And in some cases, we're seeing domestic interference operations as well. And the systems have had to evolve to be able to identify and take those down as well. Of the 100 or so networks that I just cited that we took down, about half were domestic operations at this point. And that's in various countries around the world, not primarily in the U.S. But this is a global phenomenon that we need to make sure that we continue pushing forward aggressively on.
Thank you. Mr. Pichai, I'd like to turn to you for a second because I do want information from Facebook on this point too, but I'd like to turn to you. There's information now from media organizations that it may be as much as 30 to 50% of Google ad revenue of that broadcasters and newsprint are losing somewhere between 30 and 50% of their revenue that they could be getting to newspapers and broadcasting, losing it to the formats that Google has as it relates to their platform and ad information. Can you confirm what information you have about this? And do you think that Google is taking ad revenue from these news sources in an unfair way?
Senator, it's an important topic. It's a complex topic. I do think journalism, as you rightfully have called attention to it, particularly local journalism, is very important. The internet has been a tremendously disrupting force, and the pandemic has exacerbated it. Today, as Google, I would make the case that we believe in raising news across our products because we realize the importance of journalism. We send a lot of traffic to news publishers. All the ad technology questions I'm getting asked today, we invest in ad technology, share a majority of revenue back to publishers. We are investing in subscription products. We have committed to $1 billion in new licensing over the next 3 years to news organizations. We have set up local emergency fund through COVID for local journalistic institutions. I could give plenty of examples, but the underlying forces which are impacting the industry, which is the internet, and whether it's Google, if not Google, advertisers are finding alternate sources.
I don't have a clock on me, so I don't know how much time I have to leave.
You're a minute and a half over, but so let's see.
Okay, well, I'll just leave it with this, that Mr. Pichai, you hit on the key word, majority. I don't think that you return the majority of the revenue to these broadcast entities. I do think it's a problem. Yes, they've had to make it through the transformation, which is a rocky transformation, but we need, the message from today's hearing is the free press needs to live and be supported by all of us. And we look forward to discussing how we can make sure that they get fair return on their value. Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Thank you.